Welcome to the Investor Mama Podcast, Money Conversations with a Mom's Touch. Your host, Jen Narciso, interviews amazing guests each week to help you become educated, be inspired by other money stories, and stay motivated on your own wealth-building journey. No matter where you are financially, whether you're in debt or financially free, this podcast is for you. Now sit back and enjoy.
Welcome back to the Investor Mama Podcast, Money Conversations with a Mom's Touch. I'm your host, Jen Narciso. I hope you are doing well. Happy Thursday, everyone. I know by us where we're at, it's been snowing, which is crazy. It's nothing like coming back from Hawaii to a couple inches of snow. But anyway, let's dive into this week's episode. But actually, before we do, I just want to remind you, if you or anyone you know is looking to make some extra money, definitely go to investormama.com/make money. I have some great resources for you. If you're looking for a career pivot, definitely check out the Salesforce Challenge. If you guys know of the Choose a Five podcast, Jonathan Menendez is really spearheading it. There's a Salesforce Challenge you can check out, and there's been so many amazing success stories where people are making 60K out of the gates after everything. So definitely go check it out. There's also the Etsy side hustle with Julia Berninger. She was on the podcast. I'll put a link to her episode in the show notes. And it's great if you're thinking about starting an Etsy business. If you're maybe thinking of helping small businesses or large businesses create Facebook ads, you can check out the Facebook side hustle course with Mike Yanda and Bobby Hoyt. They were also on the show to come speak about it. And I took the course. It was great. Both of these are great courses. There's also other resources for you as well. And anything you do purchase also helps support the show. So definitely go check those out. And so with today's episode, I have the pleasure of bringing on Monica Scuggeri. She is from The Piece of the Pie, and this is actually going to be a two-part episode. The first part I'm releasing today, and then I'll release part two next week. It's really navigating divorce. So the first episode we're going to really talk about is while literally going through the divorce, how she navigated it, especially with kids, and all the questions she had to ask, and the answers she would now, if she were mentoring someone going through a divorce, how to help guide them. And then the part two is now she is... not only has since the divorce, she's so successful on her financial independence journey. I wanted her to share part two post-divorce, how she thrived and built a real estate portfolio with kids as well. And so this is going to be a two-part episode, so I'll break it up, but I hope you enjoy it. And so without further ado, Monica, welcome to the show.
I'm doing great, today? Jen. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Why don't we start with your money story?
So my money story, so I'm a first generation. I grew up in Miami Beach, Florida, and then I moved out to the Bay Area and had my first real job, got married, had a couple of kids, never really managed my money. Pretty much it was my paycheck would come and that's what I used as my spending budget. And so, I mean, at least I didn't go over that much, almost never. Except for that Costa Rica trip. But other than that, actually did pretty good. Didn't really put any money in retirement, didn't do any of that stuff. When he got married, we did not have the money conversation that really I recommend all couples have, whether you decide to get married or live together. We did not do that. There were problems because I, especially when the kids came, I wanted to start putting money aside because kids, it feels like the stakes are a little higher, but he definitely didn't see it that way and spent a little bit over what he earned. And so even with some problems, we still didn't have that conversation and never did see eye to eye. So it was hard because eventually we did end up getting a divorce. We moved back to the East Coast, or I moved back to the East Coast. And, you know, it's where did I go wrong? What did I do wrong? And it's hard, you know, it's hard. You know, when we did the divorce, I wanted to keep the house. And so I ended up with a fair amount of debt, six-figure debt, and raising the kids. And, you know, you do second guess yourself because now, you know, you're an adult, you're, you know, you have kids, you've had life, you've had jobs, and your finances are a mess. And that is where I found myself. And you know, it was some hard conversations and some hard realities that I had to come to. The kids were really young when we went through the divorce, which was amicable. Thank goodness for that piece. But I think for the kids, it was really interesting because, you know, when I talk to them now as adults and we look back on their time, they could see how their dad spent money and how I spend money, how he managed and how I managed, in very different mindsets. And it was really kind of really educational for them, because on their dad's side, if you wanted something, you know, he'd just give you his credit card and you just go and get it. And on my side, it was, do we need it? Does it make sense? Do we have other things we can do? And so on my side, even though they didn't get a lot of things, we spent more time on, you know, story time at night. On Wednesdays, we would go get pizza and have pizza in the park. We would make homemade pasta, you know, and just do things together. When they look back on that time, they never felt like they were missing out on anything. They, you know, it's like they grew up with a true appreciation for what they did have. And so they were never the kids that were looking at the other kids going, designer clothes, designer shoes, designer car, fun tires, you know, like all these things that a lot of kids, you know, the brand new car when you turn 16, I mean, they didn't get any of those things. And it's been really interesting, because I'm a big believer in the hands-on. I always feel like I could have done more, but I think when you're a single parent, your time is very limited. And so you stretch where you can, you know. I always made them, everybody had chores in the house, and so that they all felt we all were part of the house. We all had a stake in the house and how it looked, how we carried it, took care of it. And, you know, growing up with those things, I felt like, you know, they look back and they appreciate all those things, you know, like especially my daughter. She goes off to college and she is shocked at how many kids don't know how to do laundry. They don't know how to, you know, make a meal even out of a microwave or anything. I mean, they're just, you know, just they have no sense of, you know, how to manage money or anything. And so she feels like she's, you know, light years ahead of her peers. So yeah, it's in a nutshell, that's, you know, high level, how things were going.
Which is amazing that you did it all, especially as a single parent, and still were able to provide and take care and instill the values that you wanted with your kids. Why don't we talk a little bit about that? I mean, going through a divorce, I'm sure you had so many different skits going through your head. Why don't we start with, I guess, what were some of the money skits that you had yourself? And then we can kind of talk about like diving into like transferring it to your kids.
Yeah. So with the divorce, I had the 6-figure debt and then I was on unemployment. So I had a lot of time to think. And, you know, it's one of those things where you feel like you should know, you know, I mean, you're an adult, you have a job, you're college educated. You should just know, but these things are not taught. They're not taught in school. My parents were very good with money, but it's not like they, you know, like, you know, it was here and there of, you know, spend less than you earn and all of that stuff. But to really apply it to my life, I never really understood it. And I really liked traveling. You know, my family, they're all overseas. And so, you know, that was just important to me. But then when, you know, it's cold reality, when you don't have a job and you've got 6-figure debt, and you've got now 2 mouths to feed and yours and a mortgage, how do you make it work? And, you know, there were times when, yeah, there was a lot of crying involved that first year of,
I'm sure,
you know, what are you doing? You're such a mess. But, you know, then you have your cry, you put some cold water on your face, you get up and you know, you go look for a job, you get very resourceful. Necessity is the mother of all invention. And, you know, so I'd sell furniture out of the house because we were going to downsize at some point. So we would do stuff like that. And, you know, in doing just little things like that, started to build a little bit of confidence in myself that I think I can do this. I've got this. You know, I do a little house sitting. You know, you just find ways to kind of make ends meet. It's not a lot of money, but, you know, even $100 is something. It's better than nothing, because, you know, you're on unemployment. And I was on unemployment for almost 2 years of the first 5 years of my financial journey. And, you know, I started learning how to budget. I had a friend of mine, coworker, who was very good at budgeting. And so he started showing me just the ropes, and just having somebody sit down with me for a couple of months, you know, once or twice a month, to go through and just the ins and outs of how do you handle, you know, your fixed expenses versus your flexible ones, and how do you steal from one category to pay for the other, and how do you stretch it? And, you know, credit card hacking came later. Those types of things, you start to feel like, okay, you know, I'm starting to build a good foundation. I'm starting to understand. I had a good credit score at least. And that was something. And so I did a lot of reading at the time to educate myself and to see how other people had it, you know, how do you make it? How do you get out of this situation and build?
So yeah, you were really struggling. I mean, for many moms out there who may have a partner even, like, to do it with someone, I feel like is definitely easier versus solo. How did you get out? Because like even now, like so many people who are in debt are, you know, there's like the fear, there's anxiety, there's all these thoughts that go through it. But then now you're like alone. And I don't know if you had any help from any other family members, but it's still you solo providing for you. And you have two kids, right?
Yes.
So two kids, single mom and six-figure debt and just trying to get the day to day. Like from a emotional, mental standpoint, how did you just get over it and to be present with your kids and just be a mom? Like it's, I feel like it must've been so stressful.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely stressful. I mean, we had a very strong routine at home, especially with my son. He's neurodivergent. So routines were critical for his anxiety levels to stay calm. So routines were very helpful. And keeping my eye on the long term, you know, to remind myself, because, you know, I would calculate my net worth at the end of the year. And those first 5 years, it went down a little bit, just a little bit, just a few thousand dollars here every year, a little bit more. And most of my net worth was wrapped up in this house that I couldn't afford to sell for those first 5 years. And, but, you know, I just reminded myself that this is a point in time. It's not forever. And to keep my eye on the long term, you know, that I was already researching. I was researching real estate. I was researching all different ways to be able to build my net worth and build some sort of passive income and when those things would start. Now, but, you know, when you're in those first 5 years, then, you know, the car breaks down and I didn't have money to fix the car. So my mother was on fixed income. And she would say, you know, Monique, I'll just send you the money. And I'm like, no, mom, you're on fixed income. She goes, no, you come to me first, always. You need something, you come to me first. And so she would, every once in a while, I'd get in a spot where I couldn't afford it. And she would send me the money. And then I would just keep a total because I'm like, I'm too old. You know, it's the pride thing, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, you know, like I'm thinking I'm too old to be borrowing money from my mom. And then that would make me feel worse because now I'm like, you know, early 40s and I'm sitting here going, mom, can I borrow some money to fix the car? And so I kept this running total. But then, you know, when I finally got to sell the house and downsize and I could pay her back, well, then she didn't want it back. And so, but I didn't feel right about keeping it. And so I ended up putting it in my kids' 529s. I just split it between them. And so the kids have 529s and I always tell them that's from me and from Nona, from my mom. So yeah, those first 5 years, it's, you know, the net worth went down a little bit, but what was saving me was just to remind myself a couple deep breaths that it's a point in time. It's not going to be like this forever. And that I was always looking for ways to stretch my income and where, you know, what am I going to do when the house sells and how am I going to structure this to make myself successful? And that was the beginning right there.
Yeah. Can we talk about that? What were some of the actual action steps that you took to get out of this and how did you stretch?
Yeah. Some examples. So, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So the biggest focus was recording all my money. And back then, I recorded everything down to the penny. I recorded what came in. If I had a temp job, then I looked at what came in, what was going out. And I turned it into kind of a game, especially with things like groceries. You know, what's the smallest amount of money I can spend and still feed us the whole month, you know, kind of thing. And And so, you know, to try to make it, you know, fun, I don't know if that's the right word, but challenging myself. And I look at what I spent the previous month. Can I shave off another $30? You know, the HVAC broke in those first 5 years. I had to get that fixed. That was a big expense. So, you know, I happened to get a credit card offer in the mail and I used that to get points. And I paid off the HVAC with the credit card. Part of the divorce agreement was that he paid half of that expense because we knew it was coming. And so he gave me half of that money and what else? And so, yeah. And so I got tax refund. And so that's how I was able to get a new HVAC. And so it's just stuff like that that you do. When I sold the house and was going to move in that month, my car broke down. And when I took it in, the mechanic sat me down. Was, you know, I've known him many, many years. And he said, this car is a money pit. You cannot put more money. You can do it, but I'm telling you, you're just going to be back here. You're better off trading it in. And it's a discontinued model. They said they'll sell it for parts and get something else, a new to you car. And I told him, I said, nobody's going to give me a loan. I have nothing. And he goes, it's not worth putting money into this car. So this is a really classic example. So I go to CarMac and I said, you know, I cleaned up my car, you know, vacuumed it out, polished it and everything, made it look as best as possible. And I go there and I, you know, and they'll give you an estimate of what they'll give you for trade-in value. Well, I got lucky because they were going to give me $5,000 for this car. My mechanic was like, take it. That's the most you're going to get. So I tell the guy, my mechanic says, I'm looking for a Honda Civic, less than 100,000 miles. He gives me the years. And so when I go, the salesperson comes up and I said, you know, I'm looking for this car. And he's like, oh, I'm sure we have something. And he starts walking through where all the sea of cars are. And I said, no. I don't need to be in the sea of cars. I just need you to go to your database and tell me if you have Honda Civic, these years, less than 100,000 miles, somewhere within 100 miles of us. And he does. We go there, and he's asking me what color, and I'm like, doesn't matter. I know I'm female, and maybe a lot of women come in, and maybe they want, you know, blue or whatever. I don't care. It's going to smell like crayons here shortly. So
yeah, really,
you know, because the kids were little. So there was one car. My daughter still drives it today. We still have it. And so the car was something like, I don't know, it was something like $13,000. I don't remember specifically, but so we used the $5,000 from the trade-in. They gave me $50 because I was going to pay it off. Because I sold so much stuff out of my house, dining room sets, sofas, my bedroom set. I mean, I sold so much stuff that I had another $5,000 from garage sales that I was saving up. So I gave them that money. So that was already, you know, the $10,000. And then out of my emergency money, I wrote them a check for the balance. And that's how I ended up getting a whole car with no loan.
Wow.
And that's an
amazing example
of, yeah, of, you know, so, you know, because it was just me and I knew I was going to be unemployed because the market was so bad then. And while the market was bad, when you're a single parent, you can't drive an hour for a job. It has to be within a 30-minute commute. It has to be, you know, a 9-to-5 because my kids were in before and after school care. So I couldn't do overtime. I couldn't do weekends. And so, you know, in addition to the market being so tough, when you're a single parent, you've got your whole criteria of other things that you can't do. And so, you know, you'd lose out on jobs because there were people that, you know, they didn't care. They could come in at 7 a.m. They could come in on the weekend. They could drive an hour. And I just didn't have that kind of luxury or, you know, option. But, you know, the car thing, you know, that, you know, you're going to have emergencies, you know, you got kids. So you always had, you know, I always made sure that I had some money set aside for just in case. And that's a classic example of something I would do to deal with it.
No, I love that. So you totally had the grit and you were like in the zone. And I love that your mindset was, this was only a short period of time. Why did you have that mentality? Like, because sometimes it could seem like this is never going to change. So how were you able to switch your mindset of, okay, no, this really is, and then we'll figure it out. Like, it's you know, only going to be for, you know, 1 year, 2 years, whatever. How did you get that mindset?
So I got that mindset. A lot of it was just reading a lot of books about how other people had done it. You know, you're the sum of the five people you spend time with. So I started building a team. My real estate agent was on my team. My tax accountant, known him forever. He was on my team. And, you know, these are people, and then of course my friends, that these were people that would be my emotional support. They would be my sounding boards. I would throw ideas out. They would give me honest, brutal, you know, truth of whether they liked it or not. And no one ever said, that's stupid, that's crazy, you're never going to do it. These were my rah-rah people.
Yeah.
And so I kept them close. I kept them close. And if I had somebody who kind of give me, because, you know, when you're a single parent, especially women, you kind of get that sideways look of what did you do wrong kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
Those people, you know, I keep more at an arm's length and just, you know, didn't really share much with them. But my rah-rah people, I would share with, and they would celebrate with me. They would cry with me. You know, they were the ones that would just remind me that, you know, you can do this. It's hard now, but you can do this, and just put one foot in front of the other. And tomorrow may be that, you know, the day that turns it all around. So yeah, it doesn't sound like it's a big thing, but having your tribe to lean on is huge. So, you know, for me in the beginning, it was just baby steps of educating myself, recording all my expenses. How did it compare to any income that was coming in? Keeping an eye on my credit score. After the divorce, one of the first things I did was pull my credit history and make a list to make sure that what was there was actually mine and not his. And so, you know, that it's a nice clean line so that I know exactly what I'm dealing with. And that's hard, especially when you know it's not going to be good news. Nobody wants to look at that. But, you know, it's a point in time. The moment, as long as you can start and you know where you are, you know where you're going and you can make a plan. But if you don't know where you are, you're just going to go in circles. You know, and that's where I was before the divorce, was just going in circles. But now that I was on my own, it was all me. That was good and bad, right? Because it's good because now it's me. I don't have to worry about somebody spending money underneath me. But it's bad because it's just me. And if I don't have a job, how am I going to make it work? So, you know, you learn.
So two questions. Did your husband help with anything? And then what kind of jobs were you able to get?
Yeah, so he did. He paid his child support. He was really lucky that he never went through unemployment, ever. Not one time did he ever lose a job. So that was really lucky for the child support. And then the jobs that I would get were all temp jobs, and they would be things senior project manager assistant, or, you know, some kind of product manager's assistant, that kind of work, or junior project manager where I would do smaller projects. And so that's the kind of work that I would do. It was never anything so big that I would have teams spread apart, you know, spread across multiple time zones, or it was a multi-million dollar. That was not going to be me, because I knew I couldn't put those kinds of hours in. So I had to take smaller things that, you know, I could handle within a day.
I love
that. Normal work day.
So for a mom who's in the middle of divorce or contemplating divorce, now looking back, what tips would you recommend for them?
Yeah. So when I talk to other single moms, I just remind them, just record what you're spending right now.
Before divorce, let's say you're before divorce, like what would you recommend to make sure that they're in the best position?
Yeah. So before divorce, I would make a list of all of your assets and all of your debts. I would have a full picture of what is happening right now. I would go see a lawyer and talk to them about the situation you're in, what, you know, that you're wanting to get a divorce, and what would that look like? Are you eligible for child support, spousal support, whatever, you know, whatever it is, in health insurance? These are all things to think about, you know. And then, is there going to be a requirement? Like, if you're going to keep the house, and, you know, like for me, I knew that the HVAC is going to be a big expense. And we knew when we bought the house, we were going to have to replace it. So in our divorce agreement, one of the things was that he would pay half of that. if it broke before I sold the house, which, you know, so that kind of stuff. You can talk about, and this is after the kids are 18, and I'm not sure if this can count, but, you know, you might want to say something like putting some money aside for the kids for college is one of those, depending on what the divorce is like, because I've had friends who it was very amicable and everything was about just making it okay for the kids. And then I've had the other extreme where they couldn't stand to be in the same state together, forget the kids. They were just so busy at each other's throats. And I tell people that if you're in a position where you've tried everything and the divorce is inevitable and you've got small kids, it's not divorce that ruins children. What ruins kids is a bad marriage or a bad divorce. That if they see that their mom and dad cannot get along, that is very stressful for the kids, regardless of whether you're in the same house or two different houses. And so that's what I tell people is that if you're going to go through this divorce, never, never talk bad about their dad or their mom. Do not do that, because you're putting the kids in the middle. If you have a problem with your ex, that's you. That is not on them. And so, you know, always make sure that, you know, your daddy loves you. It's, you know, it's going to be okay. You can talk to me and just be supportive and help them through it, because they're like, you know, like a leaf in the wind. You know, they don't have anything. They're just going along for the ride, you know. So that's the kind of stuff that I tell people is, you know, don't stay in a marriage because you think it's going to hurt the kids. What hurts the kids is watching you be in a sad marriage. You know, live the life you want your kids to live. And that's what I tell them.
It's such a great mindset. Unfortunately, I just feel like if there's cheating involved or something like that, that it's jealousy, and then it's not so easy to keep the kids innocent. I've seen that at least.
Right. Yeah. Oh no, absolutely. I have too. And it's really disappointing because the kids are the ones that suffer for it. And I know somebody who they were the one that did the cheating and didn't want to own it. And were just like, well, you know, if my wife was a, you know, better, whatever, you know, would be different. And so, you know, my friend was the one I felt like was making it really hard. And then, you know, now, you know, that their child is an adult. They look back and they're like, I could have been a better parent. And, you know, as opposed to, you know, just fighting all the time with their mom. And so, but, you know, but then it's too late. And that's, you know, you're suffer for it. Oh, I wish I was around more when they were in elementary school. I've heard that too. Okay, you weren't, but you can still do the right thing now. And that's what you always have to come back to. I mean, I, as a single mom, plenty of mistakes. You know, there were definitely days where I was not, you know, super mommy, but, you know, I own it. And I would tell them, you know, mommy's not having a good mommy day, you know, and I'm sorry. And, you know, like, I didn't mean to yell at you or, you know, whatever the conversation is. But, you know, kids need to know that fighting happens. People make mistakes. And then how do you go, where do you go from there? And how do you do that to make it right? And so, you know, it's really just that, just being the grown-up, being the adult and putting those feelings aside. And it is hard. Absolutely. It is hard.
Yeah, because I know as kids, we like have these visions of our parents as these superheroes, can do no wrong and do anything. And when the reality hits, and I think for now I have a whole new appreciation as a parent, like, because now I'm in it. And I can understand how my parents may have not been always feeling it. But in my eyes, I was like, well, they should have it all together. But I feel like as parents, though, now, even when we don't want to do it, I feel like as hard as it is, especially when going through something like that, to really be able to be selfless for the kids. Again, like what you said with the spouse, that's another story. And I've never been in it, so I can't speak. And I'm sure it's extremely, extremely terrible, but if there's any way to just put it aside for the kids, I think, like you said, that's just the best thing you can do for them, no matter how hard it is for you.
Yeah. And the kids, you know, they know, man, this is what my friends used to tell me all the time, my single mom friends, is you do the right thing always. Doesn't matter what he's doing. you do the right thing. Because the kids will see that. And as they get older, they will know who to go to when they need to talk to a parent. And they know who to go to. And so, you know, you want to be that person. You want to be, you know, the number one parent. Maybe that's a selfish way to look at it, but, you know, whatever you need to tell yourself to do the right thing, that's where you need to be, you know. That's where you need to be. You want to, you know, raise kids who are going to be productive members of society, be happy, be healthy, live a full life, you know. But you need to help them and show that to them, what that means and how do they manifest it for themselves.
Monica, this has been amazing. Is there any other tips or tricks you could tell our moms who are contemplating divorce or in the middle of divorce or right after divorce that they can do?
Yeah. I wish I had taken a little bit more time to be kind to myself. I mean, I think mothers especially, we are the ones that will sacrifice ourselves for the house, the whatevers, the kids, and we become last. And I think that had I done more of, you know, getting up earlier in the morning and just starting the day with just a half an hour that's just for me, or maybe you're an evening person. And when the kids go to bed, maybe you just have a half an hour where it's just for you, where it's just, you know, get off the crazy merry-go-round, you know, and just have that time to journal, breathe, relax. It's going to be okay. And just, you know, what is my next step? And just focus on that. What am I doing all this for? And I think that just a little bit of self-care really can go a long way. And that's something I wish I had done more of. I think it would have alleviated some of the stress off of me. I could have handled some of that better, but you know, you go through it and it's hard sometimes when you're in the thick of it.
No, that's amazing. Well, thank you so much for opening up about your story and sharing your mindset and your tips and just everything. I mean, I give single parents so much props. I feel like it's so hard with someone. I can't even imagine without someone, especially in the early years. Like, it's really, really tough.
Yeah. Now, I will say though, and if for the ladies out there who are feeling a little afraid of stepping out on their own and can they do it financially, I'm just going to say 150%. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I made so many mistakes and yet I was still able to go from the divorce and the debt and all of that. And then 10 years later, I was still able to make my financial independence number. And it's an incredible feeling to know that you can stand on your own two feet. You don't owe anybody anything financially. You did it. And you know, I did it through consistent investing, through 401k and index funds. And then the other part was I did it through real estate. And, you know, I wrote a book about those 10 years just to show how it's so long as you keep your eye on the big goal that you can get through it. And I break it down into what happened every single year because I really want people to understand that it is the small decisions that we make on a daily basis that has the biggest dividends down the road.
Amazing. I'll have to bring you back on to share the rest of your financial independence story, but I really wanted to focus today on just for moms who are, because I know I have a lot of single parent listeners too, and just like, or people who are struggling in marriage and just that there could be a way out and that you were an example of doing it and that it can be okay.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, one, and to that note, I do want to say, because I have a couple of friends who are going through the, what do I do? Do I stay? Do I go? And, you know, the thing is that some of it is just timing, you know, maybe you're feeling that way right now, but it's a lot of it is timing. And you'll know when you've done everything possible, you've done the marriage counseling, you've tried talking, you've done everything, and it's still not working in your heart, you'll know it's time. And that's okay. And it may be a 6-month period, it may be a year, it may be tomorrow. But whatever it is, you know, you in your heart, you know, it's time. And that is the best thing you can do for the family, for yourself and everybody else. And so just a little bit of grace and patience with yourself as well, because it's, you know, it's life isn't lived in a straight line, you know, and there's sometimes backwards and forward and ups and downs, and that's okay.
No, that's such good advice. Thank you. Well, Monica, at this point in the show, I'd love to transition to our lightning round. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, cool. Question number one is, what is one fun fact about you that not many people
know? You know, so it's funny because in the book, I use my pie analogy, but I am not a baker. I do not bake. I am not even a big sweets person, but I use my pie as my analogy of my story so that something to relate to. So I love dark chocolate. I love eating all kinds of food. Not all food loves me. I have some food allergies and I do not have a sweet tooth. So yeah.
Very nice. Well, question number two is, who inspires you the most and why?
Who inspired me the most? I like Oprah. I mean, she's just amazing. I have a book that I read called Automatic Wealth, Michael Masterson. It's an old book, but that was, I mean, I've actually read it three times now, and that really inspired me and made me feel like, you know, it's going to take a few years, but I can do this, you know? And so, yeah, that's a good book. That's a really good book.
Well, that's funny. So question number three is, what books are you reading now or have read and love and you'd recommend?
Yeah. So I'm actually reading a book called Stand Out in Any Crowd. I've actually just started reading that because I'm launching a business, my second business, but I have a whole list of books that I'd like to read. And so that's one of them. I really like the Finding Your Own North Star. That's a good book. I read Profit First, A Company of One. I like that book. And Taking Stock. I recently read that one. So yeah, those are just some of the ones that I've been going through. I'm one of those people that I'll start a book, set it aside, start another book, come back to this book. So I'll have they'll be in various stages, but I'll be reading all of them at the same time.
That's so great. Well, I'll put all of these in the show notes. So thank you. Yeah. And then the final question is, what is one actionable tip or piece of advice that you can tell our moms out there to help them on their own financial independence journey?
Record your expenses, the actual, don't think that just because you live on your own, you're a single parent, that you know where your money is going. Challenge yourself to record where your money is going and be kind when you see where it's actually going, and then make decisions to do better.
Yeah. That's great advice. And should not even for single parents, that should be every parent.
Yeah.
All right, Monica, this has been amazing. Thank you again so much. Like I said earlier, just for opening up your story and sharing. I think you're going to help a lot of people out there. How can my listeners connect with you further?
You can go to The Piece of the Pie. That's my blog. You can go to Grab Your Slice. That's also a primer on who I am and some other content about me. So those are two good places to find me.
Amazing. Well, Monica, thank you so much again.
Thank you. Thank you. This has been a true pleasure. Thank you so much.
All righty. That wraps up another amazing episode of the Investor Mama podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Wasn't Monica great? Just wait till next week's episode. I think you'll enjoy it too. When you get to learn more about how she's now thriving and so far on her way to financial independence after the divorce. And it's only been short number of years prospectively. But if you did enjoy today's episode, along with my other content, please subscribe on the platform you are listening to. And leave a rating or written review. It really helps support the show. We have 92 ratings. I'd love to get to 100 this week. So if you have not, just quickly, you know, hit those 5 stars. It'll take you 2 seconds. Let's just get to 100 this week. That would be amazing. I would really appreciate it. So thank you in advance. If you do it, send me a screenshot. I'd love to know. You can email me at jen@investormama.com, or you can go to investormama.com/connect. Find all my social media. All my handles are investor_mama. So definitely let me know. I'd love to know that you're enjoying the show, and feel free to share on social media as well. All right. This is Investor Mama. I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Investor Mama podcast. If you liked today's episode, please support us by clicking subscribe on the platform you are currently listening to, leaving a comment or awesome review, and spreading the wealth and sharing this podcast with friends and family or on social media. Don't forget to check out investormama.com to connect with our community and sign up for our email. Stay tuned for next week's episode.